Hey, Alex.
What, Dad?
Let me tell you about Team Fortress 2 and my history on the black market. So, Team Fortress 2, Team TF2, Team Fortress, Quake Fortress 2, TF2. So, TF2 is kind of like a weird turning point in video games almost. I think of games as pre-TF2 and post-TF2, because, like, end of 2007 is where shit like Call of Duty 4 came out post-TF2, Wind Waker came out pre-TF2. It works. Like, it works to split games in a really weird way.
Well, Ted, I think of it like post and pre-League of Legends, because League of Legends kind of had a big, gigantic hole in the multiplayer market and kind of changed a lot of things, but hey, I'll save that for my own episode later.
And yeah, TF2 pretty much did that. It introduced the crate and key system that a bajillion shitty free-to-play games use now. So, this episode is going to be split about half and half. We're going to go over TF2 from when it started to where it is now, and then we're going to talk about some of the wacky trading bullshit that went on. I made cash money off this game. I put in about $600, and I think in total at the end I've taken out, like, I want to say about $1,400 in total. So, like, well, it's probably more than $600 because that only counts official money I spent. It doesn't even count my black market purchases. But we'll get to that. So TF2, it's based off a Quake mod, keeps that whole Quake feel. 9 classes, everyone's unique, rock, paper, scissors, blah, 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 blah. Came out in 2007, people loved it. Biggest problem is that it didn't have many maps. The first official update was the Gold Rush update, which a lot of people, including myself, didn't even realize that payload wasn't a game mode in TF2 until this update.
Yeah, because there's original people like us that played the game way after its release.
Yeah, the original Team Fortress did not have a payload mode. Payload is where there's a bomb cart on tracks. You stand. It's kind of like a moving King of the Hill. You stand on this point, and it'll move alongside you, and you get it to the very end, and it explodes, and you win the map.
Oh, and I can interject real fast. I think it's appropriate to tell these loyal listeners out here where we both started in the game, so they can kind of gauge, you know, like, what we know and shit.
Oh, like, all right, yeah, you go first.
For instance, I first started this game. I just picked it up one day with this money I got from doing quarantine tasseling, which is a story I'll tell some other day. I picked this game up, thought it was fun, and I installed it right before, the day before, the heavy update, where he got this fucking slow minigun, he got the sandwich and shit, and the boxing gloves. That's when I started. What about you?
I started in want to say October 28th, 2009, because it was when the first annual Scream Fortress event was held. And then I've been playing it on. I played it for a long, long time, till about 2014, and then I just played it on and off since then. But I've got like 1,700 hours, so like 34, like, months. I think it was 34 months.
Yeah, I've only played it for like 600 or 700 hours. Tad fucking started later and did way more than I did.
You're goddamn right. But back to the payload thing. Original Team Fortress had a mode kind of like that. One person would be a civilian, and you had to get the civilian to a point. And the civilian just had an umbrella that could hit people for like 20 damage or something. And that was it. You had to protect this person. You had to protect this payload until you got to the point. And then they decided, well, having one person, like, that's a shitty civilian is just going to ruin that entire thing. So, here, we'll create a payload thing. And it worked for a lot of reasons. TF2 does this a lot where they came up with an idea. Because for a very long time, TF2 was Valve's testing grounds for all sorts of wacky bullshit. It's where they got, like, the basis for a lot of Steam features that are super, super important now. Like the community markets, the whole trading economy, community contributions, all that shit started in TF2. Like, payload's a really, really good idea. There's a reason why Overwatch has it. Because a payload is, hey, here's the objective, stand on it, it heals you, get it over there. it's a very, very smart game mode. But in this Gold Rush update, they added backpacks. So the medic was the least played class. And so, like, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to add a bunch of achievements for the medic. There's 36 achievements. You get one third of them, you get the Kritzkrieg, which replaces the Uber charge with the 100% crits. And it builds a little bit faster. And then, you know, you get two thirds of them, you get a different gun. And then three, you know, you get all 36, you get a new Uber saw. You know, you've played the game enough, we're going to give you some more side grade options. And then people are like, oh, that's awesome. So they're like, hey, hell yeah, let's do this shit. So a few months after that, the Pyro update comes out. And with the Pyro update, meet the Sniper, and the first community maps are added to the game, which are Fast Lane and Turbine, which are really, really fun. And also, the Pyro got air blasting. At the start of the game, Pyro could not air blast. If you've played TF2, try to imagine not being able to air blast as a Pyro. It must have been hell.
You literally just WM1'd everywhere.
With, like, shit damage.
That's all you could do. That was your job. You had a flamethrower and a shotgun, and then the axe.
Yep. So, Pyro update gave him the back burner. It gave him the back burner, the flare gun, the extinguisher. After that was the heavy update, where they had Meet the Sandwich. And they added one of my favorite maps, CP Steel, because it's a clusterfuck in a giant map. The heavy update, like, they had these videos for promotional material where they had Meet the classes. They had Meet the Heavy, Meet the Engineer, and Meet the Scout, I believe, were the first three out. And they're just, because TF2's characters are really, really unique and fun. They started off as just like, hey, here's some really, you know, unique designs. You know, each class looks radically different from the other. You can tell them from an instant, just, yes, that's a Pyro. That's a Sniper. That's a Soldier. You can immediately tell. So, you know, they all had really unique personalities, unique animations, stuff like that. After the heavy update was a Scout, where the Scout just got weapons. So they gave him the Sandman. What the Sandman was, it was a baseball bat, because the Scout's default melee weapon, every class had a primary, a secondary, and a melee. The Scout's melee was just a baseball bat. It, like, swung twice as fast, but did half as much damage. It was dumb, and it's a stupid item. Sandman gives the Scout a little bit less health when he has it equipped, but you can throw a baseball, and you can hit it at someone and stun them. And you could stun people that were Uber charged. It was a clusterfuck because you just have Scouts and it's like, oh, they finally broke through and used the medic's Uber charge to get past. Nope, you stunned because you would just hit them from any distance and they would just stop moving. They added fucking stuns in a first person shooter. It was horrible. After that, now this is where this is like the first really, really, really huge update. And it was the Sniper update. Yeah, hell yeah. Check this out. This April Fool's Day. They had a fake, look at this, Jarati, haha, isn't that funny? It's like the Sniper pees in a jar and throws it at people. And then the next day, the Sniper update came out and he actually got Jarati. And it was a weapon. So they showed a weapon every single day over this, and it was just called the Sniper update. And they were like, all right, you know, here's a jar of piss. Here's the Huntsman. Here's the Razorback. You could, you know, block a backstab. And then, like, Valve knows how to drum up hype. They did really crazy shit with TF2. Because here's what they did. After the update page went up, they added, after a few hours, they added a spy in the background. And they would update it every few hours to have him get closer and closer and closer to the Sniper. And then the next day, spy backstabbed him. It was now the spy update. And they had, like, all this crazy shit they added. And this was the first time they added comics, which, as someone who has played Team Fortress 2 for over 1,700 hours, the comics are better than the game.
It's 100%
true. The TF2 comics are, every single fucking panel is solid gold. At one point, the Scout dies and goes to heaven, God's secret base. It's fucking hilarious. Even if you don't like TF2, even if you hate first-person shooters, read the comics because they are incredible. But that was the first comic. And now they added the item drop system. And, you know, they showed, you know, the weapons, they did all that. And then the very last day was a bonus day. And they added hats into the game. So, Sniper versus Spy. First time they added hats. Yep. So, item drop system is enabled. What this is that you play, I think it was every 25 minutes, like it rolls a die. there's a 25% chance you'll get an item that increases over time or something. And then like a 1 in 48 chance to get a hat. So hats are super, super rare. You can't like get them unless you're super lucky with the item system. That's it. And they added hats because like they were trying to think of like, so if we add weapons in here, what about some kind of cosmetic to show like to get people really excited, you know, fun stuff to keep them playing? Well, no class moves their hands above their head, so let's throw in some hats. You know, people, if you saw someone with a hat, people would leech onto them like a fucking, like some kind of leeching creature, like some kind of slug with like sharp teeth that hangs out in a bog. I can't think of an example, but
shut the fuck up.
The spy update as well. They also had the sniper versus spy. They had the Meet the Spy video, which is really, really good. And they had a thing. It was a hidden link on the website. You clicked it, and if you were one of the first 11,111 people, you got a medal for the soldier that would just boop, just go right on his chest. And people lost their shit over this because they didn't get their medal.
Yep.
How come I couldn't get my medal? This is bullshit, Valve. I'm going to start screeching. So, whatever. This is when hats got into the game. People started immediately going crazy for them.
Because it was rare. So some people just got lucky. And as people, as the Screechers called it, they were like, oh, that's not fair. He got lucky and now he apparently just deserves more than I do. Even though it's just a fucking hat.
Exactly. So this goes into the next thing. Next update was the classless update. It didn't have a specific class title. It was just, hey, here's some hats, here's some weapons, here's some maps. Bunch of good stuff. And now, something called idling happens. So what idling is, and it's taken multiple forms throughout Team Fortress 2, but originally it was a third-party program you installed on your computer, and it would launch TF2 in text mode, and it would join a server, and you would just sit there and idle, and you would be playing the game. You would, you know, get home from work, actually start TF2. Hey, look, I found 19 weapons today. And so Valve, they did something that, like, I'm pretty sure, like, if Elon Musk was running around at this time, he could have harnessed this butthurt to launch us to the fucking stars. The Cheater's Lament. So it's the first hat that can go on every single class, and it's just a golden halo. And they gave it to everyone who was not using this cheating program. They called it a cheating program. It was against the rules because it was a third-party program, but people went apeshit because they never specified you couldn't use this outside of just the generic no third-party things.
And now everyone was incredibly asshurt that they didn't get their little hat.
Incredibly. You would get banned from servers.
Yep. I was banned from at least 3 servers because I didn't know any better, because I remember I was just a kid playing this game all these years ago. I didn't know what idling was. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And I just kept playing the game, you know, having fun and being innocent. And I was just like, hey,
fucking loser.
Yeah, I'm just like, yeah, what a fucking loser, right? And I get this little hat. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. Give me a thing for free. Cool. And I would get yelled at and legitimately banned from 3 different servers just from wearing this hat that I got for free. I'm like, man, that's mean. What dishes? Yeah, and for reference, back then, the ratio between the Cheater's Lament and, like, the players, and, like, the cheaters, was, like, what, 60-40?
Like, 60% of people got the hat. 40% of the player base was using this third-party idling system.
Mm-hmm. So, like, it was almost a complete 50-50, like, a complete middle split divide. Almost. It's insane.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. The next update was the first annual Hell Scream Fortress Halloween Spooktacular. And it added, once again, an all-class hat. Everyone gets this fancy little hat. It's called a Ghastly Gibbous. The Ghastly Gibbous is now the poor man's hat. It is forever associated with poor people.
Yeah, you see, that's the problem. Irish. They either make it rare and then people lose their shit, or they give it to everyone and no one gives a shit. There's no middle ground with the Team Fortress 2 community.
But yeah, this started the first, like, it was 2 years into the game, and now they started their annual Halloween events, which are a ton of fun. The Halloween events are super fun. The first one was just, hey, here's a spooky version of Harvest, which is my favorite map in the game. You know, there's ghosts everywhere, and you can shoot pumpkins, and they'll explode, and if you play and get an achievement, you'll get a mildly disturbing Halloween mask, and just silly shit. So right after, like a month after this, you could pre-order Left 4 Dead 2, and this, and you would get Bill's hat. And this is important because Bill's hat will come up later, but it's the first promotional item for Team Fortress 2. There was a lot of butthurt about Left 4 Dead 2 because, like, what are you guys even making a second game if it's in the same engine? You could just put it out as an update. And so a lot of people didn't bother pre-ordering the game and then would just buy it when it came out anyway.
Oh, wait. So, wasn't it that, like, the game was already out and then they gave the bonus for people who pre-ordered it? Like, it was too late and then they made the hat? Because I remember it was something like it was a too late type of situation, which is why people were so butthurt. That's why when they made Ellis's cap, it was much like the Ghastly Gibbous, the poor man's hat that no one liked, because it was like a, okay, fine, here. I don't remember the exact specifics, but like basically, as Ted said, everyone was butthurt again.
So after this comes one of the best updates in Team Fortress 2's history, the War update.
I love this one. Soldier
versus Demo Man. And this is, they tried to do this again with Heavy and Pyro, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't nearly as cool. So what this was, is that there was a comic, you know, they had another deepest lore comic, you know, because Team Fortress 2, when it first started, no space for a story in the game. It was just versus, you know, fighting over these desert pits, over fucking gravel and shit, whatever. It's just, you know, here's a backdrop for the game. And then, you know, they started adding all these fun little, you know, bullshit, deepest lore shit in there. And for this comic, it was the blue soldier versus the red demo man. And what happens if you were playing as a demo man, you killed a soldier, ding, it would add a little plus to the counter for the global kills. And, you know, if you're a soldier, killed a demo man, ting. And what they said was that, okay, we're going to have these, both of these classes are going to get an update. However, there's going to be a weapon that will only exclusively forever, will never come out for the other class, will just come out for the class that wins. And that item ended up being the gunboats, which is replaces the soldier's secondary, so he just has the rocket launcher in his melee. It lets you, like, rocket jump around without taking a lot of damage. But the Demo Man got the Demo Knight set, because they're like, well, what can we make that's a side grade of the Sticky Bomb Launcher? We can't, because it's the best weapon in the game, so we're just going to let you play Demo as, like, a different class. And they gave him, like, a shield and a really, really long melee weapon, so you could run around and be a melee class. Demo Knight sucks. It's always sucked.
Yeah, but it's a fucking fun-ass meme, though.
So, after this, so, you know, that war update happened, and they added metal in that. So what metal is you take two weapons that you got from the drop system that are of a shared class. You know, you craft two back burners for the pyro, you get a scrap metal. You take three scrap metal, you make a reclaimed. You take three reclaimed metal, you make a refined. And then the end goal was you take three refined metal, and you get a random hat with it. You know, that was the end game. That was like, what, 2, 4, 6, 6, 12, 18, 18 times 3 is, it is about, I want to say 52 or something, I'm probably wrong, but you know, it was a lot of weapons. You know, you did that and you got your fancy hat. So next update is the first community update. Valve opened up submissions for people to send them models for hats, weapons, stuff like that. You know, neat stuff. They were opening it up for the community to give them these things to put into the game. You know, and this has always been Valve's kind of way of doing things, is with like, hey guys, give us stuff. We'll do crazy shit for you. You know, just give, well, you know, you get, we want you to be part of this game, and it's real cool. You know, this is something that they still kind of do. Like, this is the start of the Steam Workshop. So next, and this is another thing, the first third party promotional item, a promotional item for a game that is not Valve's. This was Sam and Max, the Devil's Playhouse, because Valve was friends with Telltale Games, and this is back when they were, you know, a lot smaller than they were now. I think it was in Sam and Max, there was a dispenser.
Yeah, you could like, smack like a, it.
Yeah, you smack and you go, banang. And then, like, in TF2, they're like, hey, you know, if you buy our game, you get, you get Max the Rabbit's severed head as a hat that goes on everyone's head. And then you get, like, Sam's gun and Max's gun, and they're just reskins of, like, the stock weapons. And no one really gave a shit. Because, like, whatever, Sam, who gives a fuck? All right, so after this, the Mac update. TF2 comes out on Mac. Once again, another promotional item. If you play TF2 on Mac, you got earbuds. All class thing. You put them in your ears. They glow in the dark, and they had little music notes. They were super, super, super cool. very hard to get if you did not have a Mac.
Yep, that's why there were people like that one dude that me and you used, who was just like, give me your Steam stuff and I'll just log into a Mac for you real fast. And he just had like a thousand something people just logged into their accounts just so they can get the earbuds. It worked for me and him.
Busy Being Brutal was the server name, and it closed due to some bullshit drama. I just showed up after a week of not being there, and it was gone, so...
Oh, and one more thing to add back to Max's Severed Head. See, you said no one gave a shit, but then the promotion ended, and you couldn't get it anymore. Then people kind of started turning an eye to Max's Severed Head. Because now there was like, Oh, it's gone. Oh, shit.
You couldn't buy it, you couldn't get it any other way.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Mac update... once again, Valve starts teasing at stuff. In the update, there was like a little trailer video where it had like the snipers looking at like a Windows logo and then like an Apple. And then he saw like the other like team doing some bullshit. And like the engineer leans out the window. And what's that in his hands? That's not the shotgun.
I remember pointing this out to you. You lost your shit.
What is that gun? Boom. This is what they did. So they would tease update, they would tease shit way, 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 way early in advance and hide things in all the videos. So the next update, bam, engineer update. Engineer is now able to pick up buildings. He gets the Frontier Justice, he gets the Wrangler, he gets the Gunslinger. And here's what they did, was a Golden Wrench event. So the Golden Wrench was given to, there was 100 of them. And what they said was that whenever you craft items, there is a chance that you will get a golden wrench. And if it was just the normal engineer wrench, but if you killed someone with it, they turned into a golden statue. You know, super, super cool. People really, really wanted it. So there's this dude. His name is Drunken Fool. He cracks the code on the golden wrench distribution and realizes it's not random. They put it out at these set times. And so, he gets a bunch of people together. He's like, okay, and now, go, 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 craft, craft, craft. And people just, make a ton of scrap metal, take a bunch of weapons, do all sorts of crazy shit. And Valve caught on to him and were like, hey, this is very against the rules, because he used some real skeevy techniques. And they're like, how about we hire you instead? And then that Drunken Fool got hired to work at Valve because he cracked the code on the Golden Wrench distribution. So now here it is. The Manconomy update.
Here's where it all came tumbling down.
So the Manconomy update, what it was, trading is added to the game. And, more importantly, keys. So, now what the Manconomy update did was, in addition to your normal item drops, you will now sometimes get a Manco supply crate. What you do with this crate is, you can't do anything with it. You can trade it, you can delete it. Otherwise, you have to buy a key from the Manco store for $2.50, and you can open this crate. Inside the crates were, weapons. They added paint cans that were very, very dull colors that matched the TF2 color palette. They were taken from the environment. There's no wacky colors. They added dual tokens where you could just challenge someone. You would 1v1, like, in the game. It would keep track of who killed who, how many times. And they added unusual hats. So, unusual hats, you open a crate, they never said the official numbers, but 1% seems to be the going number. Like, that seems to be the one that people refer to. You get this hat, and it would just be, hey, look, you're super, super lucky you got this hat. It's big, it's shiny, it's got, like, flames coming out of it, it's real cool. Trading was limited to 8 items, and so... that became like the default price for what became the currency. So the currency of Team Fortress 2 is refined metal, keys, and the promotional items.
Mm-hmm.
The promotional items and keys, because the promotional items, there is a set number. There will never be any more. There can only be less, like, if someone deletes some items.
Yeah, this was before they started doing the whole genuine thing, where you could still get the weapons and guns or whatever, the promotional items that are in the game. You just get a genuine quality, a.k.a. some bullshit worth 45 cents. In the olden days, like, with Max's Severed Head and Bill's Hat, you could only get him from pre-ordering that game, and that's it. Done. Gone. If you didn't pre-order that game when playing Team Fortress 2, you don't get it. It's done. It's over.
Yeah, sucks to suck, don't it?
Mm-hmm. Which is why shit like that is like $50 in the fucking marketplace right now.
So people started buying unusuals, and they were like, okay, people really, really, really like earbuds, and it's just like an actual economy. You come up with placeholders for your metal currency. a key is worth one refined metal. It's worth 30 refined metal now, but we'll get into that.
Times change.
You know, because it was really, really hard to get a refined metal. There wasn't a lot of it because people were making so many hats and stuff. So they're like, okay, here. You know, one refined metal for a key. One key for a hat. You know, because there was no, like, solid comparisons. And then eventually people are like, okay, people really, really, really like these earbuds, and I want to buy some unusual hats for these people. So I'm going to take these earbuds, you know, these earbuds and the Bill's hat and the Max's severed head. The big promotional items, the only ones that were really in there. They were tradable, you know. Max's severed head was really, like, compared to the other two, very, very rare. It was like...
Because no one at the time really cared about pre-ordering, you know, Sam and Max, you know?
Yeah, and if you didn't like Sam and Max, it was an ugly as fuck hat.
Mm-hmm.
So the only reason you would have it is if you wanted to play fucking Sam and Max. But, so, you know, that's when unusual trading starts. And in this update, they also added five new item sets for the classes, which were a promotion from Polycount, which is a forum dedicated to, like, you know, game creation, modeling, stuff like that. And these were a bit of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So what they were is that if you wore the complete item set, which was a hat, a primary, a secondary, and a melee weapon, it would have a bonus. So the scout would have a milkman hat. He had, like, a pistol, a thing of milk that you could hit someone, and then, like, it gave your allies lifesteal when they hit them. And then, like, just a fish that you would hit someone, it would show in the kill cam how many times you hit them with a fish.
It was just a meme.
If you killed someone, it just said, fish kill. It was just a silly, dumb thing. But if you had all three of those weapons in the hat, this scout suddenly has 25 extra health, which means certain things will no longer kill him. He can no longer be one-shot by a sniper. Like, if you get a fully charged body shot, will no longer kill him. This was a huge deal, because you can't tell if someone's wearing the full set or not. If you get the hat, you just pop that hat on, you're holding one of the guns, you know, you're using the pistol, but you have Bonk and the Sandman in your other slots, you don't have that extra 25 health, enemy doesn't know that, it's no longer certain how much health this fucking scout has. The spy and the sniper were just about as bad. The sniper, you had to have a crocodile hat. There was, like, a crocodile thing, like a replacement for the Razorback that gave you more health, and then a melee weapon.
And the Sydney Sleeper,
which was a sniper rifle that could not headshot, but you hit someone, and they take damage and get Jarati applied to them, where they take mini crits from allies and stuff. But in this set, he couldn't be headshot. So you could just have, you know, what, you know, just have that crocodile thing, and, like, you didn't even have to have the gun, honestly, because if people saw that crocodile thing, they would just assume you had it, and, like, you couldn't tell instantly what this sniper could do, because you there was uncertainty. You didn't know, does he have all three? Does he only have the crocodile thing? Does he have the crocodile and the gun? He's got the hat. I can't tell from a glance.
See, I'm a little more forgiving to the sniper set, because, like, now it's still bad, don't get me wrong. But I'm more forgiving to that one, because when you see the sniper, you can't always see his gun immediately, but you can see the fact that he has both the crocodile hat and the backpack thing, Darwin's danger shield on his back, too. If you can see those two, you know, you can guarantee he's going to have, and you can still see the rifle. So, by base means, when you're, like, in a sniper fight, you can see three out of the four pieces of the set, you can pretty much guarantee he's going to have the melee weapon, too, and you're just going to not bother with a headshot.
The other one that was a fucking huge problem was the spies set. And if you had the fez, a gun, and a knife, that wouldn't let you disguise, but if you stabbed someone, you would instantly disguise as them and it wouldn't show up in the kill feed. What his set was his decloak sound from his watch was much, much quieter, but if you bumped into someone, you know, you would shimmer for a lot longer. And there was a watch that came out in the Sniper vs. Spy update called the Dead Ringer. You held it out and you took damage, you would drop a fake body, the kill cam would say they killed you, and you would go completely invisible and you'd run somewhere. And then you decloaked, it was like a loud crack a chow. So, the downside of this set didn't apply, because it didn't have the shimmer. There was no shimmer when you used the Dead Ringer. And the downside of that watch was the loud sound effect. So having this set just eliminated both those things. the only thing it stopped you from doing is disguising, which you could just stab a shitty scout and not care. But that one was pretty... There was also the pyros, which made him move faster, but he took more damage, so who gives a fuck? The pyro has always been shit on.
My feelings.
Next update was really, really fun. It was the second Anuhel Scream Fortress. It was the first boss. And there was more deepest lore shit. Like, they added, like the Man Brothers and shit like that. They started really going wild. And it was the Art Pass contest. Valve made a map and said, hey, guys, we need a Halloween version and a normal version. Take these, do an Art Pass over them. We'll take the best ones. We'll put them in the game. And they had, like, you would find masks of all the classes, and if you took all nine of them together, you could create a Sexton Hale mask, and it was, like, an all-class spooky hat.
And don't forget, all the little class Halloween masks were Halloween-bound, but the Sexton Hale mask was all year.
Yep. And what they did for these was that if you're playing on the map, there would be a present that would a Halloween present that would spawn for you somewhere on the map. So you had to, like, pretty much it was entirely, like, 12v12 scouts, like, holding bonk, trying to get to the fucking present that spawned on the other side of the map, while the boss was running around with his axe killing people, and it was crazy and wacky, and I loved it.
See, what I remember from that event was, joining this one server expecting to play, but, you know, silly old me.
That'll happen a lot. Where you join a server to play and you're just not able to because of some bullshit.
What they were doing was setting it up where people were, like, taking turns picking up presents so everyone can get their shit and go actually play the game now.
Oh, that's right, server. That's right. The presents weren't bound to you specifically. Anyone on the server could get them.
Yep. You don't remember that? So I joined a server that was taking turns.
Where you could go into Spectator. I remember this because it happened to me. If you're in Spectator, you could just collect the presents. And stop anyone from getting them.
What? Well, yeah, it was remember, pretty. You can, like, no clip around as a spectator if you want. If you hit, like, space or something. So yeah it was bullshit. It was a bad update.
And the next update was the Steam Summer Sale, and with this they had a treasure hunt. You know,
oh,
they had
boy.
All these games with specific achievements, and this is just how big TF2 was. The rewards you got for doing these was TF2 hats. You would get, like, a pirate hat with, like, a treasure chest in it, and then a pirate hat with a treasure chest with it open. And then if you got every single achievement, you got the Hat of Undeniable Wealth and Respect. And this hat was, like, I think there's only, like, maybe 148 in existence. Because you had to get a lot of very hard achievements and buy, like, every game that was part of the event on the summer sale. Because what it was you did events and you got tickets. And you can, you know, you can exchange those tickets for TF2 items and shit. TF2 items or things in other games. It was really fun. I wish Valve kept doing that with the Christmas and summer updates, but...
It would have made shitloads of money if they did, but they don't support those games anymore. Imagine if they did with Dota 2. It's like, hey, we gave us $4,000 to get a shitty Juggernaut courier. Oh, and wait, sorry to bring this up, but during the Steam Treasure Hunt, the very first one, I specifically remember that there was a Rise of Immortals achievement. There were two, actually.
Huh.
Because Rise of Immortals was still around at that time. There's a throwback to our horrible MOBA episode.
Next update was Christmas. I remember this one because I played it on Christmas. They added Medieval Mode, which is everyone had melee except for the, like, some of the new weapons, like the medic got, like, a crossbow that could heal people from a distance. And this is when they added three different paints. They added very, very bold colored paint, such as lime green and hot pink and, like, super bright yellow and complete white and complete black. Every single one of them looks like shit on every single hat, but it makes you stand out. So your fucking Barbie doll gets all the attention in your fucking achievement_Minecraft trade server. They added these horribly, horribly ugly paints. And then, you know, just a whole bunch of new weapons and shit like that. I believe after this is the Rift update. And Rift was an MMO, and this was a huge deal. So what it was is that Rift, instead of having a hat, or it had, like, a, like, if you played TF2, you got a code to get a hat in Rift. It was like a weird thing they tried doing.
It was a cross promotion.
Yeah, if you bought this MMO, you would get not hats, but weapons. You would get a weapon for the pyro and a weapon for the scout. And the only way to get these was to take a three class weapons and you put them together. You'd make a class token. You take three weapons of the same slot. And you'd make a like you take three. You know, you take an Uber saw. You take a boxing gloves for the heavy, and you take like the equalizer for the soldier. And then you get like you'd make a melee token. You take that class token and a scrap metal.
If I recall correctly, this is when they started doing vintage and then later genuine items, versions of promotional items.
Did they?
Yes, because you could, remember, like you just mentioned, you could make the sun on a stick and the volcano, the sharpened volcano fragment in game. So if you bought it from Rift, you would get a vintage version. Because they didn't make genuine yet. All they had was vintage for when they did like a big hat update. Also, another thing to cut in and say, in case you couldn't tell already by like the second or third hat update, they got rid of that whole color palette and hats matching the characters' personalities really fucking fast.
Oh, yeah.
Almost immediately. Like, Max's severed head, the shutter shades, done. The shutter shades were out by then, from Strong Bad's cool game for cool and attractive people or whatever. Dangerous 2.
Yeah, that was from a promotion with Night at the Inventory, which was like a poker game by Telltale. That was had like the heavy and Sam and Max and like the dudes from Penny Arcade.
See, I remember playing that game. I didn't know how to play poker at the time, so I would literally just spam all in until I won. I got my hats. It's like, here's your opening hand, a joker, one queen, and like two threes. Well, all in. You have a royal flush, all in. You have literally nothing, all in. I'm doing that cartoony thing where you just push all the chips into the center of the fucking table.
But people, because you couldn't get at, like, the weapons were garbage, they sucked, but that didn't matter. What mattered is that it was very, very hard to get these weapons until they were added to the drop system 2 weeks after the, like, pre-orders, like, finished. Because you could start getting the weapons 2 weeks before the, like, pre-order ended. So that was eventually resolved. I think they stopped doing it, I think, until... No, they kept it up for a while. They kept it up until Human Revolution came out. Because they had the Shogun items. Where they added a bunch of Total War Shogun stuff. That I think you... bought those?
Total War Shogun? No, because I think I actually just found most of them. Because I didn't buy the Shogun stuff. I used them because I thought...
You bought the Hurricane Relief hats.
Yes, that. That was completely different. Because that was like a whole different like situation. I was like, that's a nice thing to do. I guess I'll get the fucking, the second, like the $20 one, which was the fucking like hair thing.
Yeah.
What was the big one? Because there was
$100. Yeah, there was the Humanitarian's Hachimaki, I think.
No, that was the first one. That was like the $10 one. I have that one. And then I have the second tier was the other one. What was the last one?
I remember the look of it. It looked really dumb. But anyway, so after that came the replay update. The replay update was I finally added the ability to make replays in Team Fortress 2. And it was horribly inefficient and it was fucking terrible. But this is the start of the Saxy Awards.
Yeah, boy.
So the first year of the Saxy Awards were, you know, the best replays in Team Fortress 2. And the winners would get a Saxy Award, which was just an all-class melee weapon that was like a golden statue of Saxton Hale, and you could beat people to death with it. And I think they turned into gold, just like the Golden Wrench. And I think you got a tour of the Valve offices. Or that might have been the second year. But after the Saxy Awards comes the Uber update.
This
update had been like, they started sliding stuff into the game. Like, when a scout would die, sometimes there would be a dove that flew out of him. No explanation as to why that was, but they started sliding stuff in there. They started adding stuff to the maps that related to the medic. On the homepage of the website, they had all 9 classes at the top of it. And then one day, they all started looking towards the medic. Like, their eyes just shifted over to where the medic was. And the medic looked normal. Everyone else was looking at him. They didn't know what was going on. They had a super deep like ARG. There was like a hospital in Bellevue. There's coordinates. They had all this crazy shit. And then wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. 4 days long. And this is how they did all the really big updates. So it would always do it over multiple days. And they had the Uber update. You know, they had Demoman, Sniper got stuff. Soldier got like two things. Scout Heavy got something. And then wham, bam, Meet the Medic. Meet the Medic is my favorite Meet the Team video. It's so fucking good. It's so good.
I mean, you're not biased because you made the Medic or anything.
Not biased at all. Couldn't possibly be.
But Meet the Medic is probably still objectively the best one made. It's got the most length, the most thought process. Only because like it was like the last one they made. Meet the Pyro came out last, but they've gone on record saying that they actually finished that one a long time ago. They just wanted to release Pyro last.
Mm-hmm. So at the end of the Meet the Medic, Team Fortress 2 is now going free to play.
No, I thought that was after. No, that was after Man vs. Machine.
Was it?
Yeah, I specifically remember that. Because after the shoot and kill the robots, it was like, Team Fortress 2 is now free to play, and the Demo Man gave like a cheer. He's like, whoa!
That's it. Okay, so then after the Uber update was the Meet the Pyro update. They did a similar thing where, and this was, Valve actually hired an economist onto their team now. And what this dude did was they decided, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to add these items into the game. We're going to add a pile of ashes, a banana peel, a rubber ducky, and then super, 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 super rare burnt fire retardant capacitor and the Pyro's fireproof journal. They didn't do anything, but they were super, 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 super fucking rare. That's it. They did not have a single purpose except to be incredibly rare. And they did it specifically to see what would happen if there was a completely useless item that was just in the game. And it was, you know, it was all part of, like, you know, hinting at the Pyro update coming out soon and all that. But outside of that, no point. Whatever. Meet the Pyro comes out. It's a really good video. Special Delivery is a new game mode where it's, like, a really shitty capture the flag with King of the Hill. But it had Poopy Joe. Poopy Joe. Taken too soon. It was, like, a game mode where there was this whole joke in the war update. Like, they would have, like, the class stuff, like, in a comic book. And there was, like, find the trumpet that saved Poopy Joe. Because Team Fortress 2 has that Homestar Runner, like, balance of so wacky random humor. Like, the fucking Abraham Lincoln invented stairs.
It's absurd. Because he was
tired of rocket jumping everywhere. Like, Shakespeare-icles, which, like, the strongest poet of all time, and it's Shakespeare, but he's fucking ripped. It's just stupid shit like that that shouldn't be funny, but the way that it's presented and the way it's handled makes it work. Meet the Pyro update also had the inclusion of Source Filmmaker coming out for everyone to have.
So everyone can make porn.
Yep. This year's Sexies. Don't worry about the replays. We're going full-blown Source Filmmaker. August. So, back during... August 2012, Man vs. Machine comes out. And they revealed that Man vs. Machine was something that they've been working on since, like, the Engineer update. Because in the Engineer update, if you went back and you looked at the video, there was a Robot Heavy's head in the background. And there was other Man vs. Machine stuff. They had been working on this PvE mode for a super, super, super long time. And what it is it's basically a raid mode. Everyone is on red team. Originally, like in the video, it was red and blue team teaming up, which was really, really cool. But they made it just red so that you could easily tell where your teammates were and all that. But I wish that they kept that in because it was like a whole real cool situation. It was all part of the deepest lore and shit. And it was really cool.
Actually, Ted, I have to interrupt. Turns out free-to-play was actually the Uber update.
See, I had a feeling.
All right.
Because I remember, fuck me. I felt like it.
That was...
Fuck you, Alex.
All right. Fuck me, then. Remember, the Uber update's when they added, like, all of those fucking hats, not just the medic thing. It's when they added, all that shit for, like, everybody.
They added tons and tons and tons of shit. Weapons and hats changes, and everything. All sorts of crazy stuff.
Okay, well, fuck me. Right here, live, you know, two days later when people actually watch the episode, I was wrong.
Next update, second annual SAGCY Awards, Source Filmmaker got a big boost, blah, blah, blah. So the next update was the first 100% community-created update. Valve was like, okay, here's what we're going to do, because we're working on Dota and all these other games. We're going to let the community make this update. And they found someone, like, there was a group, they did man versus machine stuff. They made robot versions of all the hats. There was a comic, a Source Filmmaker movie, some maps. Valve let the community create their entire own update, you know, even the web page, and put it out as an official update. So there's only about three more updates left that I'm going to cover. June 2014, expiration date, the movie comes out. It was a movie of Team Fortress 2. They mentioned in an interview, Robin Walker did, that they actually went and talked to Pixar about help on making a Team Fortress 2 movie. And they decided, wow, this is a lot of work. And so, like, okay, full hour and a half long movie, we can't do that. You know, we cannot do that. So instead, they're like, okay, we're going to do a shorter, you know, 15-minute long movie.
Oh, and don't forget, actually, that originally what they wanted to do was that they wanted to work with Adult Swim and make a, like, six or something episode series of Team Fortress 2.
That's true. I can't believe I forgot about the Adult Swim promotion.
You're lucky I'm here. And what happened was Adult Swim wanted them to make an episode every few months. Valve took over a year just to make the expiration date. So obviously that wasn't going to work. So they just made expiration
date. Expiration date was 15 minutes long.
Expiration date was also meant to be the second episode of the cartoon. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
The first episode was mostly going to be exposition and the characters cracking a couple of jokes just to kind of like set everything up. You know, it was like a TV pilot, you know? Then episode two is where the scout gets like his episode and is like introduces like the main character. That was the whole point of it.
I would kill for that. I would kill a man in cold blood to have a Team Fortress 2 show.
Yeah.
Alex, I would murder a man.
They made Scout the main character because obviously he's the youngest one, so it just kind of works that way.
And like I said before, even if you don't know TF2, watch the movie. It is really, really, really funny. Just the dynamic of Spy being like the straight man to Scout's bullshit is so good. It's so good. Like one of my favorite scenes was the medic has like he has this thing in a jar. He's like, look at it. Look at how angry it is. It's, look at how much it hates me. He just starts shaking the vial up. I love it. The medic is a psychopath. He's my favorite.
See, the only thing that sucked about Inspiration Day is because it was only, you know, the second episode. Not every character got a chance to shine. Like, Pyro, Demo Man, Heavy, Sniper, they didn't, like, do anything for throwing it.
Yeah, Sniper didn't do shit.
It's unfortunate. Like, but, like, if they were to have more episodes, everyone would probably get their time to shine. But, alas, we'll never know now. At least we got what we got. Okay.
So, I think it was August. It was just a little bit after the Expiration Date movie comes out. 496 years later, the dancing plague is back. First struck in 1518 in Strasbourg. Now it's back, baby. So they added taunts into this game. They added, I think it was around expiration, a little bit earlier than that. You could high-five people. You could high-five your allies and your enemies. And so now they're like, hey, here's a conga taunt. You just press it, and then your character starts dancing and automatically moving in a line, and you can kind of strafe to move them left and right. And then anyone could walk over, press the taunt key, and they would join in the conga line. Now, this is all fun, you know, all good fun and games. So let's say, okay, guys, I'm the only guy who bought the $7 taunt. I'm going to stop taunting now so we can play the game. Other people continue to taunt. Because it doesn't end, other people join them. It spreads like a fucking plague. The server is unplayable. The game for like 2 fucking months. Someone would just show up and hey guys, watch this.
Because everyone would be like, not everyone had this time. Not everyone had $8 to. It was like $7.99, and not everyone had $8 to shell out to get this taunt. So when one guy did it, every, like, kid or just other idiot was like, wow, hey, now I get a chance to actually use this. And then they would start dancing, and everyone would just lose their fucking mind. My friend...
Because it's awesome.
My friend Ravi bought the taunt, like, the day it came out. I didn't, because this was years ago. I didn't have my job yet. I don't have a job now. What happened was, he was like, hey, guys, want me to kill the server? I'm like, please don't do that. I'm like, oh, I'm going to do it. And he hit the button, and then just, it was over.
It was the Ren and Stimpy don't hit the button moment.
The
it's
just, big, shiny look at me, I'm red
dancing.
Button.
I'm dancing. Oh, but yeah, that was the dancing flag, and you could not play the game for like 2 months. The next update I'm going to cover, penultimate one.
We're running 50 minutes. You better tell your black market stories quick.
The gunmetal update. Gunmetal update added contracts. You spend $7 and you buy a ticket to get into this contract in the store. And then it's like, you know, do X thing or do Y thing and you'll get a drop. And it'll be reskinned primary weapons that you can sell on the market. You can sell on the workshop. And like those crates would sell for like $2 a pop. Because you would sometimes get a crate out of that drop, and I made like $38 when the first and the second one came out, because I would just immediately buy it for $7, do all the contracts, sell my crates on the marketplace, and just sit back and eat baby carrots. But it was, you know, it was reskinned default guns similar to CSGO, where the texture is like unique on them. And the last one we're going to cover, and pretty much the most recent one, if you don't count like the Christmas update, which is whatever, is Meet Your Match. So what Meet Your Match was, it was a double update. It was a Pyro versus Heavy war, where, you know, Pyros killing Heavies would count towards that. Whichever side won would get an entire... So Valve announced that they were going to do class updates again. They were going to do one for every single class and, like, rebalance the entire game. Make, you know, change a ton of stuff, you know, change how the class works, give them new weapons, do a whole bunch of stuff. Or maybe not even give them new weapons, maybe just change what it was. Like, whoever wins this is going to get the first, they're going to get it first. You know, it'll be Pyro, you know, Pyro 1, so it's going to be Pyro first, then Heavy, and then whoever they decide after that. And then, as also part of this, is that they added a completely unnecessary competitive mode to Team Fortress 2.
Well, here's the thing. I know why they made that. This is going to go on my multiplayer episode I've been hyping up, like how you've been hyping up your fucking Homestuck episode. But, when shit like League of Legends came out, it kind of ruined everything. So now every game's going to have this matchmaking mode where you can be like, hey, look at me, I'm like gold or diamond. Look how good I am. God, I fucking love being myself. So Team Fortress 2, being a multiplayer game that was released back in 2007, you know, the good old days where you just played a multiplayer game and shot at each other, you didn't care. Now it needs to catch up with the modern times and be like, hey, look how good you are at the game. Because before, the only status symbols in Team Fortress 2 were like, look at this unusual hat. God, aren't I rich? But now you can be like, God, look how big my dick is. I have 400 confirmed spy kills as the sniper or something. on matchmaking. Not on some strange weapon. Nah, that's pussy shit. Look at me. I'm fucking Mastery Rank 5 Demo Man or whatever the fuck. I don't know.
But yeah, there's a lot of stuff that we didn't cover. Just really, you know, just how Valve did some things.
I mean, it's hard to cover like Team Fortress 2 over almost an entire decade worth of updates. It's gonna be a decade soon. It's 2017 of updates in an hour.
The tenth year of Team Fortress 2 will be coming up in September 26th.
Watch them do jack shit for it.
I hope that they do another I hope they do another Source Filmmaker movie. They haven't done one for Dota, and they haven't done one for any of the other fucking games. So what the fuck are you doing?
It would be really, really nice if we got another thing like expiration date just as a 10-year anniversary. Like, not a lot of multiplayer games can say they went on for 10 years.
That's true. And stayed profitable, because it's still, like, the top 10 most profitable games on Steam.
And it's still incredibly well, but it's still really high up. It's, like, in the top 5 forever in Steam player page. Yet if they don't support it as much as they used to, it's still clearly, like, they have it on the back burner just printing them money for a while. And then they come up and say, like, and they like, open up, like, yeah, it's working. And then they go back to putting in more shitty Dota 2 hats.
Yeah, Team Fortress 2 was making money hand over fucking fist. And they would use TF2 to test all their crazy ideas and stuff. Like, there's a lot of mechanics and stuff in Team Fortress 2
because
that got
abandoned. Team Fortress 2 fans would put up with a lot more shit than other fans would in other games.
Because Team Fortress 2 is a much more relaxed, wacky game.
Because it didn't have a whole matchmaking thing where you had to have a big e-penis or anything. It was just, get on a server, play, shoot at some idiot with his stupid fucking glowing ass hat.
Yeah, I could talk about Team Fortress 2 for another hour. So let's do that, but let's talk about a different topic. So, my experiences with trading in Team Fortress 2. So, it was around the time Unusual Hats first came out. And I want to say I opened one or I got one from a friend. It was a bad hat. It was like an engineer hat with a circling Team Fortress 2 logo. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Neat. And so, this was my first, you know, I didn't play any MMO outside of, like, fucking RuneScape. Which, RuneScape kind of plays into this. But, you know, this dude added me, and he's like, hey, I want to buy your hat for PayPal money. And I'm like, oh, cool. I'm, like, 13, so yeah, this sounds like a good plan to me. And I, like, he gave me a link to his, because there was a ton of third-party websites for Team Fortress 2. There's economy.tf, backpack.tf. Steam rep, all these fucking things. And so he gave me a link to a Steam rep. I'm like, I don't know what I'm looking at here, but there's a bunch of green, so it's probably good. And then, you know, he was an impersonator, and he impersonated some Source OP, which Source OP is a website I'll get to in a little bit, admin, and then, like, stole my hat. And then I'm like, oh, good thing I have the trade log open. And so I just, like, got all the information, put it in Steam support. That dude got banned, and I got my hat back, like, within 24 hours. So I don't know what his fucking master plan was. Because when
you can trust me with her adamant.
Addy, thank you very much. Well, like, I don't know what his fucking plan was, because now if you get banned, you get blackmarked on all the Team Fortress 2 rep websites, which means you can't join trade servers, because they all had that plugin that would immediately kick someone who was banned on the Steam rep. And shit like that. Like, you couldn't trade people on Steam, so you just... What are you gonna do?
He lost actually everything for game? A shitty hat for, like, $10.
Yeah. It was a hat that was worth maybe $40.
It's like that leg charge. Like, please, don't ruin the entire ecosystem for $30 to $45.
So, there was two moments of financial success for me. Two very, very big ones. I would with GPM... We went over and talked about that. I think we touched on this in the previous episode. People would have those earbuds and those promotional hats I talked about before, and I would take them, so I would fence them. I would take 15% of the money, give them the rest. You know, I made like, you know, I would take earbuds, sell them for $28 to $40, keep 15%, give them back the rest of the money. You know, I did that, like, I was doing that all the fucking time. But I was playing on Halloween, and I bought a key. And I'm like, okay, because I bought like a Steam card or something and I had leftover money. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to open a crate and try to get a strange flare gun. Oh, that's an unusual team captain. One of the best hats in the game with one of the best effects in the entire game.
What was the effect? I don't remember.
Stormy Storm Team Captain, which is like one of the top five effects for a hat. And the team captain was like M. Bison's hat. And it was super, super cool. And everyone fucking loved this hat. And so, almost immediately, like within 3 hours, I was getting added by like people with Russian usernames and shit that like found me. Cause there was databases you could search that you could search for unusual hat that had existed under X hours in a backpack of someone whose Steam level or Team Fortress 2 playtime was below X level.
This is how important this hat was, by the way. There are websites to track idiots who don't know what they got so you could scam them. It was literally a scammer's list.
It was exclusively used to find and scam stupid people.
Poor kids. I actually have a very similar story to this too, if I can just, it's really quick. But I play a lot of Elsword. At least I used to play a lot of Elsword, and they had little ice burners which kind of worked like keys and crates, you know, you can buy them and make them, yep, and stuff.
A ton of games started using this key and crate system. Mm-hmm. Team Fortress 2 pioneered that.
There, you can buy avatars because it's a free-to-play like Korean MMO to put on your character. But you can also get some avatar sets only in these little ice burners, in these little crates. And you can only get... Now, this is before they made a change where you can only get pieces for the character you're playing. They used to be able you can just get for anybody. So it was actually hard to complete a whole set. But I was really into this trading business. I became like Tad did, where I would open up these ice burners to get things. And if you got, like, say, a piece for a really popular character, like Ad was the new character at the time, I got his pants, and immediately upon... Because it displays in the whole server, like, X person unboxed this in his ice burner, if it's rare. So I just got, like, 5 to 6 PMs of just, yo, 1 billion. Yo, I'll give you 1.5 billion for that shit. Yo, 1 bill? Question mark? Just constantly. And a billion's actually pretty good, because you can have a maximum of 2 billion on your character. So they wanted to give me half of the gold cap just for these pants. And because the goal cap is so low, what you do to save money is you make alternate characters and put the gold on them, or you get it mailed to you and you keep it in your mailbox as a semi kind of bank system. Because there's no limit, because your mail doesn't get deleted after 30 days, like in WoW or something. Or you trade for things worth that much money. Like, this mount is worth 7 bill. You can't carry it, but you can have the mount and use that as currency later. It was a crazy, it was a crazy system, and I was into it so much. But continue with your M. Bison hat.
So I got the hat, and I'm like, oh man, I would go to a trade server, and almost immediately, like, people would stop what they were doing and then circle me and stare at my hat. As I would just sit there and do, like, the meet the medic taunt where I just raise the... Oh, I got banned from a lot of unusual servers for doing that.
For what?
There was a taunt for meet the medic when that came out where the medic would pose, he would lift his medigun up, there would be an angelic light, he would look at the camera and, like, wink, and then doves would fly out. And if he did that in the water... And the doves would get stuck and cause splash noises, and if you kept doing it, it would crash the fucking server. And so I went in there with my my valued at $900 hat and do this, and he didn't want to ban me because he wanted to somehow get my hat. So I was able to go in there and just crash the server, and then just fucking waltz my happy-ass Steamboat Willie.
You legitimately just do how, like, rich politicians get away with crime.
It was pretty great. Eventually, I got banned because he like told me to stop, and I said, no, shut up, fag. And then he banned me, so I probably shouldn't have done that.
No way, fag.
Again, I was in freshman year, so. But so I took this hat, and I'm like, okay, I've had my fun with it. I want to sell this hat and go to Germany with my German class, because that's like $500 to do that, and I could sell this hat for that much. So I go on SourceOP. SourceOP was a guild website for, like, CSGO or something. And for some reason, it became the de facto, like trade server. People would go on this thing. Like, I think because they were one of the first ones to open up on their forum, like, a section for it. And they were big enough, like... There was a few really, really big groups, like Crit Sandwich. Do you remember the other ones? Skyle.
You're remembering more than I do.
There was a few really big servers. Crit Sandwich and Skyle were the biggest ones that I can remember. But, like, you know, they had this whole trading thing, and people go in there and buy and sell items. So what the process was is that someone would... there was usually a middleman, which was an admin or a moderator of, like... There were people that were dedicated, like, they would do it, like, you know, they were a moderator on Steam Rep. And people would do it, like, I did it a lot, because every now and then for a big high-value trade, they'd be like, hey, here's a few keys. Thanks for, you know, responding to my thing and getting here within, like, 10 minutes so we can do this trade. You know, it was nice, because you didn't have to do anything except take the items and then give them to the other person. You know, give them to the people at the same time. Because people didn't want to be like, okay, here's my hat, and then, you know, they don't charge them, you know, they don't get the PayPal money. But, you know, I go on this website, and I put the thing up. You know, like, I got a ton of, you know, offers, but there were always stuff like 16. I had an offer that was 19 unusual hats. That, like, there was no ugly ones that were terrible in there, but it was 16 fucking hats. I ain't got time to sell that.
I also assume it was technically still worth less than the 500 or whatever.
Technically, it was like $1,200 worth of hats.
But much like how I mentioned with Elsword, you're not actually getting the money, you're getting things worth that much money.
Exactly. So what I decided to do was, the date was getting closer, and the only really money offer I had was $600. And the guy who had it, there was like a few offers, like $750 and stuff like that, but like I checked their profile, and I'm like, this dude's only been a member of here for 3 months, he only has like 100 posts, most of them are bumping his own thread. He doesn't even have an avatar image. He has nothing on Steam Rep. I'm not going to trade someone like this. I had to screen people before I would even add them to my friends list.
You did it completely correctly when you had a hat worth that much money.
Because, like I said, I got scammed that first time. I'm like, I also had a dude. His name was Matty, and he was collecting unusual team captains. And he told me, he's like, hey, dude, I already have a Stormy team. I already have a Storm team captain, but here's what you need to know. Here's a crash course on what people are going to try to get you on. And that dude is pretty cool. Eventually, he got trade banned for scamming. So I decided to go with this dude. His name was Zippo, and he gave me a Sunbeam Scout hat and like a Burning Flame Soldier hat. And it was like, oh, these are really, really cool. These are awesome. And then I realized, I'm like, because like the hats were worth more, and they were both like pretty fucking good hats. But they weren't as good as like a team captain. So I'm like, ah, shit. So I put the hats up for sale, like those two hats up for sale. And I'm like, shit. So I messaged the dude. I'm like, hey, do you want to buy these hats for like $475? And he was like, I don't know. And then I told him, like, if you buy these from me, you essentially bought the team captain hat for $475, 50% of its actual value. And he was like, I don't know if he just felt bad. He was like, yeah, fuck it. I mean, I might as well. And then just, you know, I bought it. I sold the hat for less than it's worth. I turned $2.50 into $475. It's still a fucking win in my book for a fake hat in a first person game in which you cannot see your own hat. And then that dude got trade banned for scamming a year later. He scammed someone and got his S banned.
So, hey, think of that extra 400 you didn't get as just 400 and something that you didn't get as banning that guy.
Ching. Then there was the other time. There was only two times I made like any actual really big profit. And I went to the TF2 steam powered user forums, which no one fucking uses. And I went into the trading section. I'm like, huh, I'm going to check out the unusual section. Or, no, I just went in there. I went to the strange weapon market because I was going to look for a sticky bomb launcher. And strange weapons, Alex mentioned earlier, they just track how many kills you get on them.
Yeah.
Eventually, you can augment them with, like, parts that count how many spies you've killed or critical kills, shit like that.
They keep adding more to the system each update. It was the E-peen of that game before they started making a matchmaking thing.
Yep. But I saw a dude, and he had... So the first Christmas event, there was two different crates. There was the nice crates, which had, you know, Christmas cosmetics, and the naughty crates. And the naughty crates would have Christmas versions of, like, the default weapons, which are just the default weapons, but they had Christmas lights on them. And there was a chance that you'd get strange ones in there, you know, which are really cool. You know, they just strange weapons. They count your kills, and they were Christmassy.
Yeah, now they're a little specially.
So this dude had a complete strange set of these, which is all 9 classes, all of them strange, all of them from the very first Christmas event. And so I messaged the dude. I'm like, so what do you want for these? And he's like, yeah, I'll take a copy of CSGO in this $15 game. And I'm like, is he fucking with me? is he fucking with me? That's $45. And so I played it cool, you know. I slicked my hair back. I'm like, yeah, I guess. What about... And then I'm like, I started looking at other hats he had in his backpack. And be like, hey, I'll trade you, you know... Well, I'll give you the games for those. Then how about I give you a few dual tokens and, you know, some paint and stuff for that hat? He's like, yeah, that sounds like a plan and all that. So I'm like, and like the dude was like foreign and like I was getting real nervous because like I was like, hey, let's do the trade and sent him a trade request. He didn't respond. Sent him another, didn't respond. And so I don't know how the fuck. All right. So I sent him a message. I'm like, okay, dude, so what the fuck are you doing here? And I guess he took that as I was about to back out of the offer because I thought he was playing me like a fiddle and he was just going to goof on my ass. But then he's like, no. Okay, here we go. And he gave me all the stuff. I gave him $45 worth of games. I now had a weapon set that was worth $600 to $800 in my backpack.
Holy fuck.
You can see on my TF2 backpack, there's on those websites, you can see the pricing history. There's just shoof. It fucking rockets up to like 3 times the price it was. Fucking wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Get on the floor and jam.
See, I had a couple of... swoosh. I had a story kind of like that where I was like at a weird standstill of a guy if he was going to scam me or not in Elsword. Example, it was actually those pants, I think. He wanted to give me one bill. And I'm like, okay, sure. But I'm like, so you can only trade at a time 700 million a piece. So he would have to, like, take turns. So I would have to, like, give him the pants. And he's like, all right, I'll give you 300 mil and give you the 700 mil in the second trade. I'm just like, oh, I don't know, man. That sounds as fishy as fuck.
Yep.
He's like, okay. I'll give you the 700 mil first. And like, he does it. I'm like, okay, so even if he walks, I still made 700 mil. That's still 70% of its value off of a thing I got for a dollar. That's pretty okay. And I sit there, I look at him for like 10 seconds, and then he trades me again and gives me the extra 300. And I was like, oh, thank God. And then,
yep, dude, that moment we're like,
those 10 seconds
felt
like,
is he gonna trade me?
It was like a year. But then I had a situation like this where I was on the other end, where I could have totally been chaotic evil, where I was trading a piece of, I think her name is Aisha, the little mage one. I got an avatar piece for her. And this one guy was telling me this story about how he wanted to get the avatar piece because his girlfriend plays the game. And I'm like, okay, you know what, I'll sell it for like 200,000 less than the other guy was gonna offer, just because I feel bad for this guy. Whatever, fine, I'll be nice. So, I give him the thing, he gives me the money first, because what happens is they're like, okay, I'll give you the money, now hold on, let me log on to my other character to get the rest of the money, and I'm like, I could just walk with this money.
That fool.
Like, he's like, okay, here's the 700 mil I have on this character. Let me log on to my arena real fast. So I still had the top, and I had the money in my hand. I'm looking around waiting for him to come back. I'm like, I could just walk. Holy shit. Oh my god, what do I do? Holy fuck.
This reminds me of a dude. There was this little kid. He was 13 years old. He was 13 or 14 years old. And I almost phrased that terribly. I totally scammed this fucking dude.
I was nice. He could trust me with his adamant. I gave him the piece and he gave me the money and we were all okay.
Here's what this kid did. He was asking me for various items and I was like, sure, I'll get you this item that's worth 2 refined if you give me 2 keys. He's like, okay, sure. Goes and buys 2 keys. Gives me 2 keys. I give him a 2 refined item that I just happened to find for him because it was itched in my fucking backpack. And I did this for like 3 to 4 months where I would just get, he would like, I mean, he bought a fuckload of keys, my man. I got fucking bank off this dude. Because like, I had a policy. The only time I ever broke my policy is that if the other person was aware of the TF2 economy like at all, like, if they were aware of anything at all, I wouldn't outright deceive them. If they ever asked me for the value of the items, I would straight up tell them, this is the normal value for these items. It's, you know, however you value them can be different. You know, like, if you see $2.50 for a key and think, that's fucking nothing, I don't care, then it's like, that's fine by me. I will gladly take your 17 keys for doing absolutely nothing. The only time I really passed that up was when I got those strange festive items. That was totally a scam. Like, he never asked me for the price, but the discrepancy between $45 and like $600 to $800, like, I couldn't pass that shit up. I was just, ooh, rubbing my hands together. But related to that, and this is about the economy of Team Fortress 2 in general. So people started like duplicating rare items. They started duplicating Max's heads. They started duplicating earbuds.
Don't forget my story.
What you would do is you would trade someone through Steam. Because, like I said, this was, you know, they had trading in Team Fortress 2. And then they had trading through Steam. And you would trade your, you know, you'd trade your friend or whoever. You would trade them the earbud through the Steam thing as well as the Team Fortress 2 thing. Send them both at the same time. Suddenly there's 2 there. The person just got 2 earbuds. You duplicated the item. And they would do this back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You suddenly have 500 earbuds that just flooded the market. And for a while, it didn't matter because they were still, you know, they were being used for their cosmetic value. They were being used because they were currency. You didn't want to trade someone 20 keys when you could just give them an earbud.
Like I just mentioned with the L-Sword mounts. You can't trade someone 7 bill, but you trade them this 4-room mount that's worth 7 bill.
Exactly. So, the big problem with the TF2 economy is right now, metal constantly flooding in. Nothing to really spend it on. You can craft a hat, but you can also buy a hat for less than three refined for the majority of hats in the game. The nicest hat in the game that's just like a normal thing that you can craft is like maybe 9 refined metal, which... And then keys, because of metal inflation, there's no fucking point. There's nothing to use metal on. Keys went from... 2.3 refined. So 2 refined and 1 reclaimed metal was the going price for a key for a very, very, very long time. And then it started going up and up and up and up and up and up, and now it's like 23 to 27 keys, almost 30 refined metal for a single key. So you can spend $2.50, sell a single key, and buy every single item, every single weapon in the game, and a hat for every single class of pretty much any hat choice you wanted. And So I sold all those strange festive items when I moved into my apartment because I needed the down payment money. I'm like, oh, these are really cool. You know, I sold my my medic set. I had like a gold. I had like a fucking badass, sweet medic loadout. I had an unusual hat. I had like the golden Australia medi gun, team shine, professional kill streak, blah 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 blah. I sold all that shit, and here's how I cashed out with that. I couldn't find anyone who wanted to buy the entire set because it was really fucking expensive. So what I did was I took that golden Australian team shine shit. I traded it for a strange festive medi gun. Because even they were worth about the same, and the festive medi gun, people wanted those more. I was able to take that, sell it faster for like 3 earbuds. You know, I just, there we go. And then, you know, I liquidated the rest of my backpack. What I did was the stuff that people weren't going to buy, like strange weapons, I just sold them on the community market and then bought keys with that money that went into my Steam wallet. And I just bought like fucking 68 keys or some shit. Because I sold all of my stranges that weren't like duplicates, like the ones I just didn't have. I sold all my extra items and I got like $300 out of it or some shit. But I cashed out, I got all my keys, and I got earbuds. And I took those earbuds and I'm like, I found people and I sold, you know, I sold the earbuds for $24 a pop. I sold keys for like $1.70. I literally priced myself a penny lower than the dude who was selling it above me in Source OP, and he would send me hate mail. Because he would sell them for like, he would lower his price to like $1.60, and I would lower mine to $1.59. Yeah. And then he would lower his to like $1.30. And I'd be like, go ahead and sell your fucking stock for that low. Oh, hey, look, you're out of keys? Oh, hey, look, I'm selling mine for $1.70. You can't see it, but I'm fucking flipping the birds here.
You are literally that guy in the WoW auction hall who puts it up for, I'm selling this item for 2,000 gold. Yeah, I'm selling for 1,999.
Literally me. But, and when I cashed out, it was entirely by luck. I cashed out, I got all my stuff, you know, I got keys, I sold them to a reputable dealer who had a shop. Which was, he would have a thread, and people would just come in and be like, hey, I have a current supply of 70 keys for $1.70 each. You know, I sold them to him in a massive quantity. I ended up getting like 500 in total out of the $600, $800, you know, stuff. And so I got 500 real life dollars. And then I shit you not, 2 months later, the price of earbuds went from 20 keys to 4 keys. And this is almost entirely just because of one reason. So a big, big, big TF, it's spreadsheet.tf, I think, or backpack.tf, I don't remember. But it was like the generic pricing guidelines for every weapon, for everything in TF2. And so, to streamline their thing, before they measured everything in keys, except for keys, which they measured in the price of metal. So everything was measured in keys, but then once you got to higher level things, it'd be like, oh, you know, this unusual hat is 4 earbuds and 17 keys. And so to streamline that, they're like, okay, you know what? Forget that. We're just going to do only keys. Now, you can't check that and immediately know how many keys an earbud is. You can't just check back, oh, okay, it's 20 keys for an earbud. What this means is that people don't want to buy earbuds anymore because they don't know the exact price. They don't know how much they can get for an earbud. People don't want to buy earbuds because they want to hold onto their keys because people are always 100% of the time going to want keys. They might not want this replacement thing. So the price of that just went down to 4 keys from 20. And just fucking, see, and most of my money that I cashed out was in earbuds. I had like 4 of those. If I would have held on to them, because the prices were kind of low at the time I sold them, they were like $19. And I'm like, I can't wait. So I sold them. If I would have held on to them, hoping the price would go up, I would have ended up with like 30 keys and 4 earbuds. And I would have made like $60. Like, it would have devastated it. Like, I would have lost everything. And remember, Alex, this is about fucking fake hats in a first-person shooter game.
It's its own economy, dude. There's a fucking, that one YouTube economist guy who does a whole study on just this game. Just like how Eve is basically a whole nother life. We watched that one thing.
Yeah. But anyway, that's my... Oh, there was also a time I was in a trade server, and I met a dude named Suspending BJ. And he, after we traded, he gave me a URL to his website. I was at your house, I think.
Yeah, I remember.
And it was just like Suspending Blowjob. I'm like, what does the BJ say for? Oh, it's Suspending Blowjob. I was like, oh, that's cool. And then I just walked away.
That conversation got really weird really fast for some reason.
Oh, and another time. This is unrelated to the economy or anything like that. I was playing at a server, and this dude, whenever he had push-to-talk on, whenever he turned on push-to-talk, you could hear a commotion in the background. Or no, it wasn't push-to-talk, it was open mic. And there was a commotion in the background. And, like, it was, like, getting, like, louder and louder. It was, like, someone yelling and, like, you know, things getting thrown around. And people were, like, joking around, like, dude, what the hell is someone, like, what the hell is going on back there? And he's like, no, just fucking don't worry about it. Just fucking play the game. And, like, he got, like, real serious, like, whenever someone brought it up. And, like, at one point, there was, like, a lady yelling, like, screaming. And we're like, dude, is someone getting fucking murdered in there? He's like, just fucking, like, he got really, really mad. And then, like, he turned his, like, thing off. He turned it to push to talk. And then, like, next time he did it, you could quite clearly hear the sounds of a scuffle in the back of that dude's house. And, like, he quit the game. And I'm pretty sure he was, like, a serial killer who just took a break from, like, killing a lady to play some fucking Gold Rush.
I just imagine that his parents were fighting. He's like, well, time for Team Fortress 2 with an open mic.
It's like that, like the Mexican guy in your guild and everyone's guild who, when you play, you can hear his entire family in the background.
First off, Blasto's like lives in Caracas, I think it is, like the most dangerous city on the planet.
That's no Gary, Indiana.
Yeah, but he lives down in, like, actually Venezuela. That's it. That's where he lives. But I have a couple stories about trading from Team Fortress 2 and then Dota 2 myself.
Oh, that's right. That's right. The vintage timebreakers.
Yeah. And don't forget my Max's Seven Headaches story. So here's a story. Ted never lets me live it down. Years later, we're adults. We live in our own places. We have jobs. I got a dog. He still brings it up.
One of us has a job. Like it means
something. Yeah, yeah. I lost my job now. Fuck you. hey, you lost your job on this podcast, too. Now I lost mine. So we're just taking turns on this. Anyway, so I pre-ordered Sandmax because I thought, oh, hey, that looks like it's fun. Because, hey, I was innocent. I got the hat. And I'm like, cool, this hat and these weapons are like $20. That's awesome. That's what I thought. Because I figured, you know, I bought it for $20. Why would it just magically change in a couple months? I didn't know any better. But that Grenader set came out for the soldier. The Grenader hat, the battalions back up, and
one of the Polycount hats.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the
Polycount, like, sets. Damn, I really like that set. I didn't want the bonus. I just thought it looked really cool. I'm like, damn. So I traded this one guy, because that was like $17.99. It was like almost $20. So I was like, yeah, I'll just trade you this shit for that. And it's an equal price. And Tad's like, no, you fucking idiot. What have you done?
What are you doing? It's because I wanted the big kill. I wanted Sam's gun. You wouldn't give it to me.
Because you didn't have the battalion's backup.
I'll fucking kill you, Alex. Next time I see you, I will fucking drop kick your ass.
So
you did this shit again in Dota 2.
No. You're thinking the wrong... No. Let me explain. So.
No.
No. So here's what happened in Dota 2. I was playing Dota 2 one night when Ted was sleeping over at my house. You know, when we were a lot younger. You know, hey, my friend's over. Time to play Dota 2.
Yeah.
Hey. That happens to everybody. Welcome to life. Welcome to... Hey, this is... I'm going to feature this on the multiplayer episodes of how multiplayer killed video games. And this is... Here's a real life story. So I'm sitting there at night. He's sleeping behind me. I'm staying up playing Dota 2. Because I'm stupid. And I unbox a crate. This is back when they had keys. And I got an unusual Stumpy. My first unusual in any of these games. So I wake Ted's fat ass up. And I'm like, holy shit, this is awesome. So then a couple days later, the whole Timebreaker fiasco happens with Dota 2. So if you don't know the story, Faceless Void got a weapon called the Timebreaker. And the guy who submitted it actually stole the model from another game. Didn't actually model it himself.
Really?
Yes, that's what happened. He just did some illegal shit to get some free money on Dota 2. People found out, and they pointed out, and Valve's like, oh shit, how the fuck did we do that? So, they got rid of the item, that guy got in trouble, I don't remember who made it, So I don't know what happened to him afterwards. All I know is that he definitely got in trouble. And so they did is they remodeled the Timebreaker themselves. And they, like, removed it from the game or whatever temporarily. And people who had the weapon still got the new updated model with, like, a cool, like, effect. It became sort of like a little mini unusual weapon now. And it was called a Vintage Timebreaker. So I don't know if the thing's still in the game or not, or you can, or if it's just like a like a max head where you can only get it from this whole fiasco. I don't remember off the top of my head.
There was another set like that, right? There was an Ursa set that was hideously ugly.
Yes, but it wasn't a copyright that needed to be removed. You could just remodel that. That's different. This was like something that this guy was totally like breaking the law just to get some free money on Dota 2. But anyway, so
my kind of guy.
Yeah. So, I have an unusual Stumpy, and I'm like, well, let's send a trade this shit, because Stumpy looks like shit. I don't like it. And it was unusual with sunbeams, which is actually kind of a good effect, because it's a tree thing, having sunbeams come down on it. It was a good combo, that's why it was worth, it was worth something. So I find this chick. I like a trading website. I managed to convince her, with my silver tongue that gets me out of trouble out of all situations, to give me 2 vintage Timebreakers for an unusual Stumpy. So a few months later, Timebreakers are worth about $60. No, they're like $40 a piece. Unusual Stumpy's worth $5. I'm just rubbing my hands.
My name's Alex, King Alex, and I love money.
Pretty much. My name is Norman, King Norman, and I love money. So, now I have 3, because I already had a Timebreaker before. I have 3 fucking Timebreakers now, and I'm just like, no, wait, I had like 4 or 5, sorry, hang on.
What the fuck were you doing when I wasn't paying
attention? It was a common drop in a crate. It wasn't special, that's why. So I just had a shitload of them. It'd be like if the fucking, the flare gun became worth $60.
Hell yeah. Like, or like half jugs of wine.
So I'm just sitting there juggling them like a clown, like, whoa, look how rich I am. So I give one to my friend Blasto, because he's poor improving. I'm like, I don't care. Give one to Crew, because I don't care. He gives me like a nickel, I'd say, I don't care, let's give them away. Then I start selling the last 3. So I sold, no, the price of the Timebreaker has dipped up and down dramatically. It's been $30, it's been $60, it's been $20, it's been $15 once. I don't know how. I don't follow the market nearly as much as Tad does for Team Fortress 2, but like it shifted a lot. So at the time, when it hit like a deep like decrease, I'm like, well, let's get rid of these, I guess. Fuck it. They're not worth shit anymore. So I sell one Timebreaker to this guy for just like a shitty Dragonite set that was like $6 or $7, because the Timebreaker at the time was only like $15. I'm like, eh, I want the set and I don't have money, fuck it, I'll take like the 50% value, I don't care. And then I sold another one for, when it dipped up a little bit to like $25, I sold one for these 2 item sets that I really wanted. Like, I basically got what they were worth at the time, you know, like, you know, minus here and there. The only one that I didn't get anything was when I just gave one to Blasto, pretty much. Because, you know, he's my friend, I don't care. But, like, I got pretty much what they were worth. But, I just love the fact that I just, for $5, I got, like, in-game worth amount, at least, like, fucking $80 worth of shit in-game. Like, easy. I turned that shit around real quick. And then they made it even, that unusual Stumpy's worth even less now. Timebreakers are like probably $40 right now. I don't know, like, and they change, but they're worth a decent amount now. But, that unusual Stumpy, that's not even a dollar now.
Jesus.
Because what happened is, the way they changed unusuals in Dota 2, where you can just pop out a gem of an unusual and make anything you want pretty much have an unusual effect. Unusuals work entirely differently than Team Fortress 2. So, that combination of Stumpy and a Sunbeam went from $5 to like 70 cents because you can just pop a Sunbeam gem out of it and put whatever you want in there. Or like, you can just get a Stumpy, put a chisel, and put a Sunbeam in it, boom, and you have a Sunbeam carrier. It doesn't matter. Like, I have Styx and Blotto, the little like guy with the trench coat and the hat and the stick, the little shuffling shyster guy. What I fucking did, is I called him, I got a firework effect that he drops fireworks as he runs, and I called him your Jewish ally, So whenever, that's his name. His name, whenever you look at the courier and click on him, it's him with this evil smile, with his little, like, tip in his hat called Jewish Ally, and he's just dropping fucking fireworks down as he flies around in the air. I'm not racist.
The only courier
young.
I need was Cluckles the Brave, because it was a chicken with two fireworks strapped to his side.
But yeah, and then, that's pretty much it for my training thing, outside of, like, Elsor and doing all that crazy shit in there, too. Anything else you gotta add, Tad?
Pretty much, I mean, virtual economies get pretty crazy. Like, it shit plays out just like a normal economy, but with hats.
We both have our stories. We were both involved in different virtual economies and wasted our time with them, because we don't play either of those games anymore.
I kind of play TF2.
I don't play Elsword at all anymore.
But anyway.
I play Warframe now.
That was the episode. You can, we got to plug, we got to shill ourselves out here.
Yeah, give us money on Patreon. I have no job now. Support my lifestyle so I can waste your money on other Patreons.
Pay for my college.
Pay for our new microphones.
Also, check us out at iTunes, YouTube, check out Revival. Alex isn't in Revival because he's a fucking nerd who doesn't like to do tabletop RPGs. Revival's a ton of fun.
Oh.
You can find us on Twitter at LetMeTellYouPD. You can find our email at LetMeTellYouAbout@gmail.com.
Oh, do we have any questions yet?
Not yet, but I've only remembered to put it on like 3 episodes. But let me tell you about with 3ts@gmail.com. That's the email. You can send us all sorts of wacky stuff there. As Alex said, we have a Patreon that we've started up to 100% go into audio equipment.
Yeah, we're not actually pocketing any of the money yet. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, we bought the first piece of equipment. Dan got it for Dungeons & Dragons because he has to talk for 3 hours at a time. It'll probably be me after that. We'll figure out that whole order of stuff. You can also check out the Discord, where we're all hanging out, having a gay old time. Getting ludicrous in there. But that seems to be it for this episode. So, Alex, do you have a catchphrase you want to throw at the end here or something?
My name is Alex, and I love money. And I love money!
All right, go ahead and stop.